Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read 5 to 13. Matthew 6, 5 to 13. Matthew 6 in your Bibles. Let me know if you're still trying to get there in your Bible. It's the first gospel, first book of the New Testament. Who loves Matthew? Amen. Who loves John? Amen. Who loves Isaiah? Yes. Who loves Paul? Yes. Who loves Revelation? Amen. Oh, man, let's just go through all 66 books of the Bible. All right. And when you pray, verse 5, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this. Looking at the screen with me for this one. Let's all read together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors and lead us not into temptation. But deliver us from evil. Amen. Is there anyone here today who's just tired and sick of hearing about prayer? Is there anyone here today who's a guru at prayer, like you've become a professional at it? You've got it covered in your hands. Is there anyone here today who wants to grow in prayer? All right. There's a few in the house. Is there anyone here who wants to get a burden for prayer? God's burden, not my burden, not her burden, but God's burden for what it is to pray. Is there a few of us here today? Sounds like all of us. Some are still thinking about it. Hopefully by the end of today, you'll be stirred up, not by me, but by His word. By the Holy Spirit, to have a passion and a burden for communion with God. Because that's what prayer is. It's communing, it's walking, it's living, it's talking. It's calling upon His name. So we want to continue growing in prayer. For the last 3 weeks in our sermons, we've talked about prayer. A couple of weeks back, I talked from Romans. For from Him and through Him and to Him and for Him are all things. All that we have, all that we are is from Him. And we're to give Him thanks. We're to live lives of thanksgiving. We're to depend on Him. This is all part of prayer. Everything we do is for His glory. Last week, Pastor Candice shared from a sermon titled A Life Poured Out. Tim, do you remember that because you did the podcast or because you love the message? Both. A Life Poured Out. Pastor Candice was talking about how what may look like a waste to the world is actually sacrifice. That we're to devote and give our lives, pour them out to God. There is a cost to devotion to the Lord. There's a cost to walking with the Lord. And so today, here we are. I want to look at growing in intimacy with the Father. Do you want to pray prayers that actually shift things? I want to pray prayers that shift things in the spiritual realm. Prayers that shift things in my surroundings, in my life, but also in others' lives. When you look at the word, you see Jesus was a man of prayer. He was a person of prayer. And so I want to look at some lessons from Jesus' prayer life. What do we see when we look at his prayer life throughout the Gospels? We actually see that Jesus was not passive about prayer. He was intentional. Jesus was intentional about prayer. If we go to Mark 1:35 for a moment. Mark 1:35, write it down, look at the screen. Open to it, whatever you want to do. It says, and rising very early in the morning. Come on, there's got to be intention in that. There's got to be planning in that. It's not like, oh, I couldn't sleep. No, he rose early in the morning while it was dark. It cost him something. It cost him sleep. It meant that he would have known the night before what time he was going to bed so he could get up early in the morning. And rising very early in the morning, while it was dark, he departed. He did something. He went somewhere. It says he went out to a desolate place. That's a lonely place, a quiet place, no distractions. What did he go there to do? He went there and he prayed. Prayer is not passive. It is intentional. It is intentional. We see Jesus do so many miracles. Heal so many people, forgive many people, minister, stop for this person, stop for that person, feed the hungry, teach. We see him do so many things in the word, but at the center of that was prayer. Talking to his Father, hearing from his Father was at the center of everything that Jesus did. It came out of a place of prayer. The things that I do, the things that you do, where are they coming out of? Are they coming out of a place of intention, not passivity in our relationship with the Lord? Just imagine crowds coming to Jesus. Jesus seeing people healed, people wanting to hear him teach. You think he would not have time to be alone with the Father. But if you come with me to Luke chapter 5, come with me, Luke chapter 5 in your Bibles. This is not on the screen. Luke 5, 15 to 16. See how much Jesus would prioritize time with the Father. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke 5. 15 to 16, it says, but now even more, the report about him went abroad. And great crowds gathered to hear him to be healed of their infirmities. You think, man, he's got the following happening. He's flying here, he's flying there. He's got no time to be centered on the Lord. He's working for the Lord. But it says, but now even more the report about him went abroad and great crowds gathered to hear him to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. No matter how famous he got, no matter how effective his ministry was, no matter how happy people were with him, no matter how much people depended on him, he would withdraw to desolate places, lonely places, and he would pray. He was not passive. He was intentional. In life, when you look at Jesus' life, you actually see that some decisions require extended time in prayer. We can pray short prayers. There's nothing wrong with that. We can pray on the go. There's nothing wrong with that. But there is a need and there can be a desire for extended time with our God. He's inviting you and I to extended personal time with him, extended time corporately. But you see that Jesus would actually have extended time of prayer. What did he do the night before he chose his 12? He prayed. Let's just flick to Luke chapter 6, 12 to 13. Just one chapter after the other one we're looking at. It says in Luke 6, 12 to 13. In these days, he went out to the mountain to pray. Once again, he would go somewhere. And it says, and all night, man, all night. I can tell you right now, I've never prayed all night. So I'm like, Jesus, help me. How did you do that? He's not necessarily asking us to pray all night, but we can see what he did. And I know there's an invitation for all of us to extended prayer, where there's no distraction, where the focus is just on him, where there's just some decisions in your life where you need to spend more time with the Lord. Not that he does what you want him to do, but so he gives you wisdom, so he shares his heart, so he gives you clarity. It says, all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he doesn't say he went and had a little nap after that. He called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles. He already had disciples. He probably had 70, 80, 20, 100. He says he chose from his disciples. So imagine you've got 120 people, let's say, that you love. But you know you need to do this journey with 12. He had to go to the Lord all night. Some decisions and appointments require more prayer before they are made. Extended time with him. But we just read the Lord's Prayer before, didn't we? We recited that together. It's not all that long. It's, you know, I think in Greek or something, there's only 30 words in that prayer. It's such a short prayer. Why do we have to pray long prayers when we've got the Lord's Prayer? Wouldn't that just be enough? Let's look more at the Lord's Prayer. Why was Jesus even talking to them about this that we call the Lord's Prayer? Let's go to Luke chapter 11. In Luke 11, so you see the accounts of the Lord's Prayer, you see it in Matthew 6, and you see it in Luke 11. And this one's even shorter than the other one. It's like, oh man, I'll just say that today, and then I'm done. Who grew up in school praying the Lord's Prayer, Monday to Friday, anyone, or assembly? We did that. We did that. And I wouldn't even think much about it. I would just say it. But because of that, it's imprinted. It's ingrained on my heart. The Lord's Prayer. But this came out of this. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place. He's praying again in a place. And when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, and it goes on and it goes on. But they're saying, teach us to pray, because they're seeing the fruit of Jesus' prayer life. They see him praying. They see him talk to the Father. They see him go missing. But then they see him impact people around them. They see him moving in authority, speaking in authority. People are like, what's this authority this guy has? And they go, man, it must be that thing that he does. He prays. So they ask him, teach us to pray. I don't know if there's a difference between teach us to pray and teach us how to pray. It could be the same thing. But I have this thing, I almost think, they're not just saying teach us how to pray. Because if he taught them how to pray, he'll just say, this is what you do. You do this, 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 this. He'll give them principles. That's how you pray. Go and do it. But he's actually saying, they're saying, we don't want just that. They're saying, teach us to pray, as in, do it with us. We're seeing you do it, but we want to do it with you. Do it with us and we'll do it with you. Let's do it together. They want to learn as he demonstrated, as he lives it. What Jesus was actually doing was this. Jesus taught what he modeled and modeled what he taught. Jesus taught what he modeled and he modeled what he taught. He was just teaching them what he was already doing, what they were seeing. But then he would model it as he taught it. It's just, it blows my mind. That's why sometimes we can just hear about prayer, but if we're actually not doing it together, we're not going to learn anything. If you're not seeing someone else doing it, you're not going to learn anything. His disciples actually say, teach us to pray. It was a question. It was a request. Have you ever had someone ask you a question because of your prayer life? Have you ever had someone say, man, how does that happen in your life? Is that because of your prayer life? Show me how you pray. Oh, man, I want to pray with you. Oh, I struggle to pray. Or just, there's something about how you pray. It's not about showing off, but I'm just saying, when we pray like Jesus, people are going to notice it. It's going to impact them. And they're going to want to come alongside you. They're going to want you to pray for them. But you're going to say, it's not about me praying for you. It's about you praying too. You have the same access. I can show you how I do it, but go to God and he'll show you how he wants you to do it. But we got to go back to the model, and we also have to model it for others. See, the Lord's Prayer is not just an example for us to follow as a formula. It's not just for repetition. It's for meditation. It's not just for repetition. It's for meditation. You can actually meditate through the Lord's Prayer. It's not a thing that the Lord's just given us, pray that and you're sorted. He says, I'll teach you how to pray. I'll teach you to pray. When you pray, say these words. But I don't believe. I get the sense there's more to it. He's not just saying, have these words. He actually wants us to live these words. He wants us to pray through them, but to read through them, to memorize them, to internalize them, but actually to stop as you pray. As you pray that. Imagine if you stopped. You start, our Father. Father, you are my God. You are my Lord. You're my creator. I am your child. I'm praying. You're praying as you're doing that. Oh, everything I have is from you. My identity is in you. You're my daddy. You love me. You've never left me. You will never forsake me. This does not make sense, what's happening in my life right now. But I know you are with me, Father. You created me. You have a reason for my life. Though people oppose me, you're my dad. I've got your name. And I'm just going to keep following you. Those are the words that come to my spirit when I just think about our Father. He will give you words as you pray that. Our Father in heaven. He's in heaven. Oh God, you're in heaven. You're my Father. The heavens are your throne room. Oh, the angels worship you in heaven. I want to join in, Father, in heaven with what they're doing. But Lord, how good is it that you're omnipresent? You're everywhere, but yet you are ruler of heaven and everything is from you. And then he goes, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. You could spend hours praying the Lord's Prayer. Oh, hallowed be your name. This is a petition. May your name be holy. Your name is holy. Your name is sacred. Your name is like no other name. There is no name like God. There is no name like Yahweh. There's no name like Jehovah. Oh, your name is above every other name. Your name is a strong tower. Oh, we run to it and we are safe. We could go on and on. Just praying about his name. But as you do that, you're getting closer to him. You start to see what he sees. You start to feel what he feels. And your problems start to look small because you're looking at him through his eyes. But you're focusing on him. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You are holy. Oh God, you are holy. You're pure. Oh God, I am not holy. I am not holy. I mess up, Lord. I mess up. Lord, my thoughts, Lord, how I think of others. Lord, your word says, be holy as I am holy. Lord, I can't be holy without you. I need you. Oh, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. We sang it today. Your kingdom come. Your rulership. Your reign. Lord, I want your kingdom to not just be in heaven. Lord, I get it that you want your kingdom to come, but it's not going to come around me into my life without me inviting it. So God, I want you to rule my life. I want you to rule my heart. I want you to rule my thoughts. I need you. Your kingdom come. Whoa, your kingdom come. Do you know what this kingdom that we're on is? The prince of this kingdom of earth is the enemy, Satan. So when you're saying, and the Bible says that, he's the prince of this earth. He's the father of lies. He's got territory. He's got territory right now. But we don't have to give him territory. But when we say your kingdom come, you're inviting him to say no. You're inviting the enemy to push back. You're inviting opposition. So don't be surprised when you say your kingdom come, that stuff starts to go down. So when you're praying, your kingdom come, you're like, Lord, your kingdom come. But you know he's going to give you what you need for the attacks. He's going to give you what you need for the victory. Your kingdom come. He gives you the tools. He doesn't leave you by yourself. Your will be done. Your will. What's his will? His will is right here. It's in the word. So you're saying, you're praying your will. You start to think, oh, Lord, your will. Your will, you want the sick to be healed. Oh Lord, what's your will for my marriage? What's your will for my mind? What's your will for my finance? I'm telling you, Jesus was teaching us to pray. He was teaching us how to pray. Oh, I don't have words. He has given us so many words right there. Your kingdom come, your will be done. The word says when you pray his will, it will be done. When you pray in his name and in according to his will, it will be done. Lord, I don't know how to pray your will. Teach me how. And he's saying, just keep getting into my word. Keep getting into my word. And you will start to pray my will. Are you guys getting tired of the Lord's prayer right now? Because seriously, we could be here for hours. We have no excuses of, I don't know what to pray in the secret place. I don't know what to pray for someone. God has given us the blueprint. On earth as it is in heaven. Lord, would your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? You just start to think, how is it in heaven? Lord, we want to see that here on earth. And you're just inviting him in. And we're only halfway through it. Give us today our daily bread. You're saying, Lord, just like your word says that you feed the ravens. Just like your word says that you dress the lilies. Lord, you're going to give me today what I need today. I'm not going to worry about tomorrow's bread. I'm going to focus on today's manna. He's supplying what you need today. He will always give you what you need today. So you just say, Lord, give me today's bread. Because when we stress about tomorrow, guess what happens? We miss out on what he's given us today. And you can't use today's tomorrow. And forgive us our debts. Forgive us. Forgive me, Lord. I mess up. I've messed up. You're the one who forgives. You're the one who died so that I could be forgiven. But wow. Lord, I need to forgive others. I can't just ask for my own forgiveness. Who is it in my life that I haven't forgiven, that I'm struggling to forgive? Forgive me as I forgive those who trespass against me. You're saying, Lord, I don't want bitterness. I don't want offense to be a poison to me. So God, forgive me and help me to forgive others. And lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. The word says Jesus was tempted in every way, but yet he was without sin. And Jesus teaches us to say, lead us not into temptation. Because he knows it's coming. He knows it's around us. But deliver us from the evil one. I just encourage you, church, to memorize it. To learn from it. To meditate on it. Paraphrase it. Whatever you need to do. This is how Jesus taught us to pray. This is how he taught them to pray. Back in the 1800s, a man by the name of Henry Ward Beecher said these words. He said, I used to think the Lord's Prayer was a short prayer. But as I live longer and see more of life, I begin to believe there's no such thing as getting through it. If a man in praying that prayer were to be stopped by every word until he had thoroughly prayed it, it would take him a lifetime. It would take a lifetime to pray the words that Jesus taught us to pray. What do we learn from Jesus' prayer life? I want to ask you today, have you ever asked Jesus to teach you to pray? Have you ever asked you to say, Jesus, teach me to pray? That's what the disciples asked. And we see them grow and grow and grow in their prayer lives. I invite you today together, let's do it. We're doing this Bible plan at the moment. As a church family, we just threw it on you. Jump in if you want. Jump in if you can. If you can't, that's fine. You're doing other things. But we're doing a Bible plan. You can scan that QR code all about how to pray. It's 21 days. You can jump in today. You can jump in tomorrow. You don't have to try catch up. Just spend 21 days learning how to pray. And you can invite others to do it with you. You can send them a link. But I'm just hearing report after report of how people are being challenged in prayer, how they're growing in prayer. I just see prayer as this inexhaustible subject. I've been trying to grow in prayer for I don't know how many years, and I just keep going, Lord, I don't know. I need to, where can I go with prayer? There's just so much to it. But it's because that's where our life comes out of. Our connection to Jesus comes through prayer. Jesus comes into your heart when you say yes. He speaks through the word, but we speak to him through prayer. So where do I pray? We're a praying people. Where do we pray? Where do we pray? When you look at Jesus' life, you see him pray in the secret place, but you also see him pray as he goes. So I want to tell you today that we're to pray in the secret place, and from there, we're to pray as we go. We're to pray in the secret place, and then from there, you pray continually as you go. We make enough excuses. I've made excuses. Oh, I don't have time. So you know what? I pray on the run. I pray on the drive. I pray on the go. Jesus is with you for sure. But if he needed to get down into a quiet place with the Lord for extended time, how much more do we need to? How much more do we need to? When you hear someone say, I don't have time for prayer. We've all said it. I'm not looking at anyone specifically. Pastor, you told me that the other day. Now I catch up, didn't you? I'm talking to myself and to you. All of us. We say, I don't have time for prayer. But I've got time for the gym. I've got time for Netflix. Just think about how long someone spends in the gym. Or watching a show. And that show gets really good before you know it. It's 5 a.m. because you just binged on that thing. It's not about time. Prayer is not about time. It's about priority. It's not a time thing. Let's be a people that stop using the excuse of time. But we actually say, hey, I'm not praying because I'm just not prioritizing God in my life. I actually don't need him for that area in my life. Because that's pretty much what we're saying. That's what I'm saying when I don't spend time with the Lord. Because I'm going to be the Lord of my life in this area and get on with it. Jesus knew how much he needed God, so he would spend time with him. Now, I'm not saying you can't pray on a run. I pray on a run. I pray in the car. But if it doesn't start from the secret place, you can't sustain it in those places. It's not going to have power in those places. It's just going to, the enemy will not even flinch. He won't. But, that's why. That's why the disciples said to Jesus, how come we can't cast these things out? People think you can cast it out. And he said, well, because this is only by prayer and fasting. Just because you pray in the moment in the name of Jesus doesn't mean it's going to happen. You've got to be known in the spiritual realm. Your voice has got to be known. And your voice is only going to be known if it sounds like Jesus' voice. Because you've hung out so much with Jesus. How, we can all recite Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, the opening song, most of us, because we listen to it so many times. See, when you hang out with Jesus so much and you hear his words, you start to sound like him, but not just that, the spirit. You catch his spirit. So there's power in the secret place. Praying as you go is not going to bring you to the secret place. But praying in the secret place is going to then take you out to pray as you go. So 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Yes, it's a posture. Yes, it's a mindset. But it's praying. You can't pray without ceasing if you haven't been trained in the secret place. We need to be a people. I need to be a person who honors the secret place. Because Matthew 6, verse 6, if you can just put that back up. Matthew 6, verse 6, the one before that says, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. See, the secret place is a place where only God has access to you. No one else. Otherwise, it's not a secret place. If people can send you a WhatsApp, it's not a secret place. If you can go check the weather in the secret place, it's not the secret place. You have to be only accessible to the Lord. Why did he go to a lonely place? Why did he go to a desolate place? He wants you all to himself in those places. You're not contactable and no one else can contact you. Ask the Lord to show you that place because he loves to hang out with us. See, the secret place is, it's where things are ignited. It's where the wood is. It's like the wood collection center. It's where the oil is. You'll dig up the oil in there in the secret place. It's where the fire starts. Do you have a place like that where God gives you what you need for the day? It's a priority thing. Pray in the secret place and from there pray continually as you go. So you need both. I need both, but I've got to start with the secret place. Then I've got to come back to the secret place. But you can't stay in the secret place forever, can you? I know some of us want to. You can't. God gives us daily responsibilities, daily assignments. So we can't be like, I've just been with the Lord for the last 2 days, 2 days a week. Unless the Lord's really putting that on you, please be praying for me. That'd be awesome. But Jesus didn't stay in the secret place forever, did he? But God shows you. He gives you what you need for the day. And then as you go, you pray also. What kind of prayers are we to pray? We've been taught to pray. You see, throughout the Bible, what kind of prayers are we to pray? We learn so much from the Lord's Prayer. But as you look through the Word, you see all different kinds of prayers. We can talk about all the different acronyms that we can use as Christians, whether that's ACT, whether that's HEART, whether that's PRAY, whether that's TACOs. Someone told me about TACOs the other day. Thanksgiving, Adoration, Confession. I can't remember. Others was the other one. You know, and then supplication. But there's so many things. I love acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. I learned about hot this morning. Come to God being honest, open, and transparent. There's all these acronyms. There's all these things we can do to pray, which are great. But what does the Word tell us? How does the Word say? He said, when you pray, say this. He said, when you pray, shut the door. So there's so many tools we can use and they're great, but we've got to start here in the Word. That's the main thing. When I go to the Word in James, if the worship team could come up, in James 5, 13 to 18 in the Word, it talks about the prayer of faith. Prayer of faith. Come with me to James. James chapter 5. So much we can learn from Jesus' life on prayer. So much we can learn from the Gospels, from the Apostles, from the letters. In James 5, it says, verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He was just like you and me. And he prayed fervently. Elijah prayed earnestly that it might not rain. Imagine praying that it doesn't rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain. And the earth bore its fruit. Where to pray prayers of faith. Prayers that when things happen, people go, Eric, that wasn't you, man. That wasn't you. There has to be something else. And you're like, yeah, let me tell you, that was God. I prayed. Prayers of faith. People see things happening in your life and you can point them to prayer. We pray together and we see God move and go, whoa, that was God. What prayers of faith are you praying? There's no prayer that's too small for God. There's no prayer that's too big. But I know at times I just don't even go there with certain things because I'm like, nah, God's not going to do that. Or God doesn't want to do that. Who am I? He asks me to pray. If anyone is suffering, pray. If anyone is sick, pray. If anyone is struggling, pray. Pray for one another. Jesus teaches us to pray, but then we've actually got to pray by ourselves, together, for others. You know, people are open out there to be prayed for. They don't even know some about prayer. I was catching up with someone just yesterday and they've struggled with disease for a long time in their life. They've tried everything. They've struggled with alcohol to mask everything, but none of it is working. And I said, what about prayer? And as we talked and we talked, this guy's like, I just haven't even thought about prayer ever since I was 9. That was when I was in a Catholic school. It's just not something I've thought about. And we think people know. This is someone I've seen week upon week for maybe the last 10 months. But I could have actually said, hey, can I pray for you? And I could have prayed for them. I got to pray for them yesterday. And they said they're open, got to share the gospel with them. But this all comes out of us living lives of prayer. When's the last time you prayed for souls, for people to be saved around you, at church. Let's pray for souls. Every time we do an altar call, even if no one gets saved, let's keep believing that people are going to get saved. You know, when we have altar calls for salvation, how many of us check out in that moment? We check out because we're like, we're a small church. No one's new in here. It's all good. But imagine if we're all praying in that moment that God would move in someone's heart, that God would bring someone into church in that moment. That's a prayer of faith. Prayers of faith. Pray for the sick. Pray for one another. Pray for what's on God's heart. What is coming out of your prayers? Can we stand? What is coming out of your prayers? What's coming out of your prayer life? The Bible tells us in James that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. They're powerful and effective. It's talking about your prayers. You are the righteous. We are righteous through what Jesus has done. So imagine church, Numa South. Let's imagine together what it would look like if we continued as a body to grow in prayer together. If we continue to grow as a praying people, not just a people who pray, but a praying people, a people of prayer, a house of prayer, a people that are full of the Word and full of the Spirit. We can't pray effectively if we're not in the Word. And if we're in the Word, but the Word's not leading us to pray, then something's missing. You need both. Full of the Word, full of prayer. Our prayers are praying His Word, praying the Bible. When we read the Bible, we're actually inhaling His Word, inhaling His presence. We're breathing it in. When we pray, we're exhaling. So prayer and the Word is like breathing in, breathing out. We can't live without it. Are you living without prayer? Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Prayer attracts His presence. Imagine you and I, this church family, moving even more. We're a praying church. But imagine if we move even more in the Holy Spirit, move more in the gifts of the Spirit, move more seeing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives daily. Imagine the signs and wonders we would see in our midst, the signs and wonders we'd see at home, on the street, in our workplaces, all for His glory. I believe for this to happen, we all need to commit to lives of prayer. We all need to commit to being a people of prayer. We all need an increase in a spirit of prayer. And there is such a thing as a spirit of prayer that God has given to this house. It's already on this house. But I believe He wants to pour out more of it. That communion with God would not be an afterthought. One thing I forgot to tell you that I heard this week was that prayer is not just another thing on the list. Did you guys catch that? Prayer is not just another thing on the list, but it is actually the thing that energizes the list. It's the thing that is the source of the list. So I'm going to ask you, will you commit to being a people of prayer?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.